this opportunity, and I do count it as a privilege. And in thinking about talking to men this morning and praying about what the Lord would have me say, I feel like the Lord gave me a lot. So we're going to try to cram a lot in a short amount of time. Before we begin, I distributed verses for people to read. Those of you that have your verses, you have that ready. And then Brother Gary has a microphone that he's going to pass around as I call on you to read those. So that, anyway, let me open with a brief word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this opportunity. I pray that you be with me. May I properly communicate the word that you've laid on my heart. And Lord, we pray for your spirit and your presence to be here. And Lord, help us to unite as men to make an impact for your glory. And these things we ask in your name. Amen. So, in thinking about my devotional this morning, the Lord gave me the topic about thinking about thoughts. Have you ever daydreamed? So, my grandson Arliss, when he was just 5 years old, now he's Christian's son, and they were riding together by themselves. And it was quiet, as most men do. We don't talk while we drive, right? And it was quiet. And now Arliss is an avid football fan, and all of his brothers play football. And so he's driving along, and he looks up, and he says, "Dad?" He says, "What?" He says, "I think about football all the time." And he said, "Okay." And he said, "You know what? What? But sometimes I don't think about anything at all." And I think that kind of encapsulates us men. Now, my wife can't understand about us not thinking about anything. But as I got to thinking about that, then I was also watching a sports commentary on the number one golfer. And in the pinnacle of his career or game last year, the last 2 months, he plummeted because of putting, and it was mental. He had all the skill, he had all the talent, he had shown it and by winning many tournaments in that year, but then all of a sudden he just couldn't get away of it, in the way of his thoughts. And isn't that like us? That, you know, our minds are an incredible feature that the Lord has given us. Like the 1980 U.S. hockey team, they can overcome insurmountable odds and reach victory. Or many times, we as Christians, Satan can attack us mentally, emotionally, and we can live in defeat. And so as I was thinking about this, the Lord gave me, I decided to look in a commentary on the word thoughts. And the first few verses that I came to were Old Testament verses about God. God's thoughts. Psalms 139:17. "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them." His thoughts for us are precious, unlimited. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end." An expected end. We can trust him. Isaiah 55:8-9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." So it commands our submission to him. So contrasting that with our thoughts, I ran across verses about our thoughts. Proverbs 12:5, "The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit." Proverbs 15:26, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. So we have the potential of either being wicked and carnal in our thoughts or a righteous man seeking the Lord. Scripture shows us that his thoughts are right, are pure, and are pleasant. So there we have it. As long as we live on this earth and this world, we're going to have as Christians the battle of the mind. James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. This is going to be tricky, keeping my screen up with the big screen. I like what Arnold Palmer says, a golf is a game of inches. The most important are the 6 inches between your ears. Now, lest we think we slip into this as just a secular motivational speech, we all know as Christians where we get our true strength for our mind and our inner strength. Ephesians 3:14-16 says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. So may God strengthen our inner man. So as I was on this path of thought and study, I was thinking about, okay, what are the battles that we face? What is every man's battle? And as I was thinking about that, the Lord brought to mind the Old Testament Joseph and his life. And he has a very rich life and so many truths that we could gain from his life and from Scripture. We could be here all week or all month and not exhaust. But I like, for sake of this study, to focus on the battles that he faced in his mind and his thoughts. Now, we don't know scripturally what he was thinking, but we do know scripturally the situations that he faced. And I'm going to propose to you this morning 7 that I came across, 7 situations, battles of the mind that he faced, and I cross-reference that with scriptures that I pray are both a blessing and an exhortation for us this morning. So the first one was foolishness and pride. He was the father's favorite. The father gave him a coat of many colors and actually gave him that coat as a sign that he was going to be the heir. And he was the youngest at the time. And how do you think his older brothers felt when he was identified with a coat that he was the favorite? Not only that, he shared that to his brothers, hey guys, guess what? I had this dream and you were sheaves and your sheaves bowed down to me and my sheaves. And not only that, at the dinner table one evening, he shared with the entire family. And let's look at Genesis 37, 9-11. Who has that? Could you read that for us, Brother Stanley?
And he dreamed yet another dream and told his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come and bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying.
So Joseph was young. The Lord definitely used his comments, even though he encounters difficulty for them. But as we would realize in maturity, Proverbs 17:28, even a fool when he holdeth his peace is counted wise, and he that shutteth up his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. So we learn in wisdom later that we don't necessarily have to share everything that we know. 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Anybody think back when you were a teenager, how utterly ridiculous we were? Anybody want to go back to that? I don't see any hands. So in any event, in youth and in immaturity, Joseph struggled with pride. The second one that he struggled with was being wrongfully mistreated. Who has Genesis 37, 18 and 20, 18 through 20?
Excuse me. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And when they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams.
So in Psalms 10, 4 and 5, the wicked through pride of this countenance will not seek after God. And there we see the true root of wrongful misdeeds in this world. It's out of pride. It's out of wickedness. Galatians 5, 15, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed of one another. We have to be cautious of the pride with each other so that we don't consume each other. And when we are wrongfully mistreated, Luke 6, 27 to 28, but I say to you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them that despitefully use you. The next thing is that Joseph was tempted by lust. Genesis 39, 7 through 10. Who has that? Genesis 39, 7 through 10.
Wait, who
has it? Oh, Keith.
I'm in the same chapter.
And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her.
So as men, we do face, as reiterated previously, foolishness and pride. We face being wrongfully mistreated. Every man's battle is being tempted by lust. In preparing this study, and as Brother Gary said, that this is a gathering of men, and as I was going through this, I prayed about this. I prayed, Lord, is this really what you want me to share? Two people I've encountered in the past 2 weeks are struggling with marriages that are torn apart by pornography. So I thought about looking up statistics. We don't need statistics. We know it's real. Proverbs tells us it's real. And if you really want a good look, go back and read Proverbs, the entire chapter 8. But as a soundbite, Proverbs 2, 1 and 2, and 16 through 22, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou shalt incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Proverbs 2, 16 through 22, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger, which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house is inclined unto death, and her paths unto death. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. But we know that Joseph did not lend himself to that temptation. He resisted that temptation. You know, I often thought about what happened if he would have given in. And really, his, not only his testimony had been sacrificed, but God's entire plan of him ultimately being exalted out of a man of integrity and bringing his brothers and the entire nation of Israel ultimately to Egypt would have been destroyed in the heat of one simple moment. The fourth mental battle that I propose to you that he fought was victory over temptation. Who has Genesis 39, 11 through 13?
It came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass, when she saw he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth.
So Ephesians, there are so many passages, man, that, as you know, that we can draw strength from God's word. I the Lord brought to my mind Ephesians 2, 1 through 6, and you hath he quickened. We have the Holy Spirit within us to quicken us, who were dead in trespasses of sin, where in times past you walked according to the courses of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our own conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15:57, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." So I wanted to transition at this point and look at some practical aspects of victory over temptation. I'd like to think of us, as Gary said, that this is a meeting of men. And I did play sports, football in high school. Wasn't very good at it, but I liked it. Kind of like my golf game. But anyway, I like to think that I'm sitting in a locker room looking at faces of my brethren that were out there on the gridiron every day. And as I look across and see the faces of fine men, men of integrity, fighting in this world and fighting Satan. You know, I see the grass stains on the jerseys. I see the blood. I see the wrapped up bones, especially of us older guys, you know. But, you know, still in the battle. And so, rather than my words and my wisdom, I was looking and I ran across a great article, the article "Kill Lustful Thoughts" by ChristianPure.com, and I'm having trouble linking my two screens here. So the first recommendation, it said to turn to God in prayer and repentance. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To meditate on God's word. Let's see, did I give out Romans 13:4? Someone have Romans 13:4?
For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil.
Very good. And then 2 Corinthians 10:5.
Casting down imaginations in every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
So my goal in this morning, and as I prayed and talked about this, we men are striving to be men of integrity, striving for the Lord's righteousness. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. My goal is to give us tools. We should lock arms and be working together and uplifting each other, so that we gain and remain solid. The world and Christians at large, the soldiers of the cross, are falling like dominoes against this, and we should be working together to uplift each other. And through in my life, my wife and I have come across these two books, and I try to read each of them once a year. And I'm going to pass these around. I want you to look at them, thumb through, pass it on to somebody else. I know that there are other great books out there. These aren't the only ones. But I would encourage you, I would beg of you, I would implore you that every man's library should have these two books in your library. And not only in your library, that you should read those. These are excellent books. I wish I had time to read excerpts from them, but time doesn't permit. Another thing is to enlist a friend. We got to bring this out of the silence, and enlist a friend. Have coffee. Talk about struggles. Talk about things. When I was working, my senior boss that I would have to go visit two or three times a week had a young secretary that tended to wear, she thought, attractive clothing, but it was very, very immodest. So when I approached that meeting, and coming, instead of standing at the desk and looking at her, I would sit down in the chair off to the side and communicate. I had a rule that when I would travel, I would always meet with the VP consultant, which were usually men, and if I was working with their project manager that was a female, I would always insist that he be there at that meeting with me, that I would never have a meeting alone, one-on-one with a female, especially if I were traveling but we have to set boundaries. And as friends and as partners, a lot of these ideas that I got, and I don't have all the answers, these are just a couple, but in talking with other fellow professional and coworkers, other Christians, in talking about strategies and game plans and boundaries, that these were a help. As Joseph did, we need to flee from temptation. We need to avoid. Actually, the thing that, as I was showing my wife in this article, it said to and I guess it will be here in a minute, to limit your exposure to explicit material. She said, limit, avoid it. There's no limit. You know, that's just not acceptable. And so there are tools out there. And Brother Gary, at the end, I'd like for us to cut off the streaming, and I'd like to open it up to men to share other thoughts and strategies. I want this to be a positive meeting. I'm not here to, you know, browbeat and beat us up. We all know the battle we face. Let's join together. Let's use this limited time we have this morning to share verses, to share tools, to share things that we can lock arms and strengthen each other up as brethren. And I'm not a high-tech guy. The limited tech things that I've learned have been from folks smarter than I. But one of the things that we have got is VidAngel, and it's a Christian-based thing that will take movies and we'll cut out. You can sell filters to cut out swearing, to cut out sex scenes, to cut out explicit, any level of explicit things, and even then I kind of chuckle, I guess. Ironically, you look at the top 10 movies that Christians are streaming on VidAngel, and you're looking at it and going, wow, I would never watch that even with VidAngel. But you know, it gives you the opportunity to watch shows like that. One of the things that I've done is I've set my phone and computers on child settings that have to have a password, and my wife has a password. Another thing is if you are interested going to movies in the theater, you haven't had the opportunity for VidAngel, there's an app called IMDb app, and it covers all the movies, and you can look it up, and it will tell you the rating and information about sex, of cursing, violence, and you can look at that and see what that rating is, and see because even the most harmless movies with low ratings sometimes have a lot of it, cursing and explicit. Replace lustful thoughts with godly thoughts. What are we thinking? Partner with your wife as a safeguard on your devices, as I mentioned earlier. Cultivate a lifestyle of worship and gratitude. As we're thinking and praying and meditating on His Word throughout the day, man, we have to be on guard all the time, because you can be fine. You can be in the middle of worship and gratitude and round the corner at the store, and then suddenly there's somebody half dressed or. I'm watching. I love my golf channel, and suddenly there's a commercial that comes on with women's underwear, and I'm going, I don't need this. And you have to change the channel. It's just we're just being bombarded, men, constantly and daily. And I think of Sodom and Gomorrah when the men were banging at the door to have relations with the visiting men. I mean, how far are we from that? Maybe not far the way that we're going. Seek, and if necessary, seek biblical professional help if needed. Some resources, again, this isn't an exhaustive list, but things that I've found to be very beneficial and exhortive and uplifting and strengthening in my life. The Purity Principle by Randy Alcorn, the books that we're passing around, Faithful and True by Mark Lacer, You can look up both of those books on Thrift Books, and if they still have them available, you can get copies for as low as $5. And by the way, I know somebody's going to come up and ask me, hey, can I borrow your book? You got a book. Can I borrow my book? Let me tell you right now, the answer is emphatically no, because I want... I have loaned more books out to people, and they never come back. And then the second thing that we've learned, especially with our teenagers and young adult children, is you got to get skin in the game. So if it's important to you, you go buy your book, and you read the book, and then I guarantee you'll read it. Then the second thing is there's an actual website, Faithful and True. And if you look at the website... It has counseling, it has resources, they have conferences, they have video lectures, and they have all kinds of things. So I pray that these are our tools, and again, these are just limited from my research. Number six, so we're almost there. I said seven, so we're almost there, guys. Hang with me. He was falsely accused. So after he did do the right thing and stood with integrity, he was still falsely accused and in prison. Who has Genesis 39, 16 through 20?
And she laid up his garment by her until his lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison.
Have any of you been falsely accused? I have. I worked for a large company, and it invariably, at least once every few months, somebody would rifle off a scathing email accusing me of lack of performance, or there was a failure to meet an objective, and it was all my fault. And the wonderful thing is that they sent it right to my boss and all of my team. That was so thoughtful of them to do that. And so usually I found myself about halfway into my scathing email return before I came to my senses, and the Lord would just say, put his hand on my shoulder and say, stop, back off, because all you're going to do is infuriate the fire. So I learned after a couple of rounds of this early to go straight to my boss and sit down and review the situation. There were many times that I had done exactly the right thing, that it was perceived wrong, but then there were also opportunities for growth and learning opportunities. But the opportunity was then that for my boss to put out the fire and settle it. And so, men, I encourage us that that may that be with us when we're in the middle of being falsely accused. Let's go to the boss. Let's go to the Heavenly Father rather than us getting in fisticuffs with each other. Let's go to the Lord. Luke 6, 27 and 28, but I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Let us remember in 2 Corinthians that we are ambassadors and what our business is about. We live in a fallen world. And one of my Christian friends, co-workers, when I was working with people, And he would say, well, Tim, you can't expect non-Christians to act like Christians. Well, over the years, excuse me, I've adapted that And it said, you know, you can't even expect Christians to act like Christians sometimes. But 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 19 reminds us, if there be any man in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. That's what we're about. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And that verse, the Lord was able to bring that to my mind so many times in some of those emails, and he would just bring to mind, be an ambassador of Christ. I wanted to be an ambassador of Tim. Man, I'm offended. Ding, ding. The fight is on. I'm going to be ambassador of me and my pride and me. But God said, no, no, no. Be an ambassador of me. So those so then the last one then is he is in prison for doing the right thing. He was wrongfully accused. Genesis 40, 20 through 23. Did I give that? Oh, Brother Kenny, thank you.
Genesis 40, 40 through 23, and 41, 1. And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again. And he gave the cup unto Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief butler, as Joseph, the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river.
So, thank you. So not only was he forgotten, but even after he interpreted a dream, it was 2 years before he was remembered again. We don't know what Joseph thought, but I know what I would have thought after I helped a brother out, and then I'm still stuck in jail for 2 years. I would be pretty despairing myself. And so, as I get older, As a young man, I think of Coach Krzyzewski, who was coach of the Duke Blue Devils, and I forget how many tournaments, national championships they have won, 3 or 4, but he said, you know, when I was a younger coach, I expected all the young men to listen to me, but now that I'm older, I'm just thankful if they do, you know. And I think that's how it is as we get older, you know, that we look back on our lives and so many things that we wished we could have accomplished, and yet we haven't. And I've heard it once said that a man, many men die at age 30 or 40. They're just not buried until they're 80 or 90. And so we can get caught up in the daily grind and the so forth and suffer of despair. But our encouragement again, our strengthening of our mind comes from God's word. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Isaiah 26:3-4, thou wilt keep him at perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. So thank you guys for bearing with me. I'm sorry. We're at number 7. And so forgiveness and restoration. I'm sorry, guys. I almost forgot one of the most important. Genesis 45, 1 through 5 and verse 7.
Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all of them that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptian of the house heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance.
And then Genesis 50, 20.
But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive.
Amen. And I did notice that I misnumbered these, so maybe there were 8. I don't know, but it's like the Trump Towers. They actually have a false tower in there, and there's one less floor than claimed. Forgiveness and restoration, 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 19, again, is the concept of we are in the ministry of reconciliation, and that we are ambassadors for Christ, and we reviewed that earlier. But just the final thought on this, also, as we get older, the Lord is brought to mind different aspects of folks in which I needed to ask forgiveness. I have a nephew that was young, and the older nephew of the same family, his brother, he and I were closer to age, and we were always getting into creeks, building forts, trying adventures, jumping over, who can jump this span, this, and he was always tagging along. And the Lord just brought to my mind how many times we just woefully mistreated him. And I've had the opportunity last year to meet with him and ask him, Walt, will you forgive me? And he has. And I covet your prayers for him right now because he's battling prostate cancer. And he really needs our prayers. So in closing, and Brother Gary, I went woefully over, and if I'm never invited again, I'll totally understand. Just going to read this scripture that one of my Joseph times, as you will, probably the deepest and darkest time of my life, the Lord brought this verse to me. I still hold it dear, and I pray it's a blessing to you without comment. Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, for our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God, now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, without world, without end. Amen. And so that concludes.